Nat Metcalf here. Online at flyhawk.com, you can find the full range of their netball products, including hoodies, leggings, netballs, and so much more. There are even kit packages that suit everyone. They are available in UK sizes 4 to 24 and also in different lengths too. Plus, we can even send you a sample pack for a returnable fee to try some of the range. Get yours now.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. What better person to look back on 2023 than Tamsin Greenway? Tamsin, thank you again for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I suppose the first question is, have you enjoyed it?
Netball-wise, it's been an incredible year, hasn't it? I mean, watching England get to the World Cup final was a really, really special moment. Being in Cape Town for the first time, I mean, personally getting to coach at a World Cup was just amazing. With my Thistles squad, who I've absolutely loved working with, it's been one crazy year.
End of the year ranking wise, Australia, New Zealand, England remain in third, then got Jamaica and South Africa, Wales and Scotland ninth, and also 10th as well. So I suppose the question there is, how hard is it for the likes of Wales and Scotland, maybe you'll know this firsthand, obviously, but just to remain in the top 10 places of the world rankings?
Yeah, it's really hard. It's not just about your performances at major competitions, but it's about how you manage it across the season. And look, we'd have to do a whole podcast on this, but, you know, the ranking system sadly has its flaws in terms of it's great in isolation, but actually how much access as a lower nation you get to other teams and how regularly that happens and the financial implications of it and how it favours other countries with competitions than certain others and how neighbouring nations work together. Like, there's so many variables of it. And you only have to look at how good the Quad Series has been now, the Nations Cup this time around, and how historically the amount of time Australia get against New Zealand and vice versa. Like, it's a very tough group, elite group to break into at the top. There's got to be a lot of funding and a lot of programs and a lot of years put behind, and it's going to be the same after those sort of top five as well. So it's an ongoing issue that I think world netball at some point will need to sort. But look, the rankings are the rankings. You need them in sport. But I think what you want to start looking at is the performances of teams and where people are sitting and the new rebuild, which, you know, after World Cup always happens.
I spoke to Claire Briegel from World Netball as she was leaving, and she said that it's a system that's obviously just in place at the minute, and maybe if there was any changes, it'll be up to her new replacement that's coming in. So want to look at in the future.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I just think, you know, I say this with netball all the time, like, we don't have to copy other sports. You should go around and get information, but our sport is different. It works different in so many different ways. And I think we need to find a system that works for us, that is beneficial to all countries. And the only reason I say it, look, rankings are great. And for a fan, you're like, well, we're 10th in the world. And it's a great statement to put out before you head into competitions. And it's a great benchmark to put yourselves against. But at the same time, it can also have massive financial implications. You know, you become the number one team in the world, you got some back in there in terms of big sponsors and what that looks like. And, you know, we used to say at Scotland, you say you're in the top 10, that's some real bragging rights there. So it does have huge commercial implications as well. So I would like to see it in the future, a bit of a better system. But the rankings are what they are. What I tend to look at is more about the performances against each other. And there's been some cracking performances this year from all the top nations.
Yeah. England, Jess has taken on another four-year cycle, recently ranked up 50 games as well.
Yeah.
Pretty massive achievement.
Yeah, absolutely incredible, isn't it? And, you know, I have full respect for anybody coaching internationally because it's such a tough gig. And I mean, the top teams as well, to be in those positions under that much pressure and scrutiny, and that's your job. That's going to come with the territory. I mean, it's a real tough gig. And to take them to their first World Cup final was a huge, huge achievement and something she should be immensely proud of, and why she retained the position and got another four-year extension.
Right mix of players in Roses and the A squad as well, as she heads into the new year as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly started to look at new people, haven't we? We've seen a lot of people over the last couple of months, which is great. It's great to see some of the youngsters thriving. I mean, the Nations Cup squad is going to be exciting again. I think there's still some few key areas to fix and sort out, but what better way to do that against New Zealand, Australia and Uganda?
Sure isn't easy being a national head coach, mind eh? Having the extra players to be called upon as well, if you need, that's a big advantage.
Yeah, of course. I you know, there's a fine balance, isn't there, between having players that are ready to step out on the court, and then players that you've got to give opportunity to develop, and then your steady experience, and then your superstars. I mean, there's a whole mix, and we're definitely starting to explore that, and we had to explore it. You know, when you look back, we look back at this year, the World Cup, it was, you know, super exciting. We go back to the Commonwealth Games just 12 months earlier, and it was, you know, not a great campaign for England at all, and a lot of aging players coming out of the squad and criticism around that, and all kinds of things going on. So actually, something had to change, and it's great that we are exposing some key players, because there's got to be a new group now, the new stars of the future that we look to.
Speaking of which, we all saw you wax lyrical about Fran on Sky as captain. Just what she's going to bring in the future?
Yeah, all teams need a Fran Williams. You need your superstars, you need your leaders, you need your winners, you need your workhorses. Like, there's a role for everyone to play in that. Fran ticks all your boxes. She comes up with trumps in big moments because she's so smart on the game. She works, she goes the extra mile. You know, some of the stuff doesn't actually come naturally to her. She has to really work at her game. She's improved inbounds with her athleticism and her physicality. And I'm so proud of her for getting a gig out in Australia, because it is thoroughly deserved. And she's like the poster girl for me of someone that, you know, if you'd have lined them all up in a room at 18, you wouldn't have said that was going to be her, unless you know her. And unless you knew all the attributes she got. And I knew she was going to be a little superstar. And I'm so pleased that it's actually happened for her. Because, you know, so many players have the big dreams. And for her to go and fly the English flag again. And we need that to happen. You know, we need these next generation of players to get the opportunities out there. Because that has been so beneficial for us closing the gap against Australia and New Zealand. So, I'm so pleased for her that she's getting a shot.
In England squad as well, you'd be working with people like Emma Thacker, Ellie Ratu and Vicky Olasola as well, developing their games at Mavs.
Well, eventually when I get my hands on them, yeah. me and Camilla will have a great time. We haven't seen a lot of them. They keep getting picked for things, which is amazing. But yeah, you know, there are major benefits of the full-time programme. The disadvantages for the club sides that, yeah, you don't really get to see your players a lot, and we haven't seen them at all. However, they are hugely talented. I mean, Vicky coming off the back of last season, what a steal that was for us at Mavs. We wanted someone that was going to win us more ball, and she was hands down. Her and Fran, I think, were absolutely incredible last season. So that's a great steal. Can't wait to her to fit into this mix. Emma Thacker, it's funny, isn't it? Because she's kind of going... You know, because Berry Neal was exploding onto the scene. Obviously, we've got Helen and Sasha Glasgow's come back, and she hasn't really been given that shot yet internationally. But I'd keep my eye on her, because I just think she is going to be an absolute superstar. Oh, I've loved Ellie Ratu from the moment I started working with her at Birmingham Uni. Again, when you talk about a winner and someone who will go the extra mile, that's an Ellie Ratu. And she's still so young. You know, she hasn't had back-to-back seasons yet playing centre. You know, people forget she's been pulled into this England squad. She wasn't always starting choice at Pulse last year. So making the move was really brave for her, really, really brave to come back to Mavs. And you're going to see her all year at centre. And I cannot wait, because I just think she's got so much to show people.
Let's look at Scotland, obviously, and in the year in 10th. It was a year that you had to move away as head coach. But just what you were able to bring, and bring in the likes of Iona and Hannah into that mix as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, those 3 years, I was there just over 3 years, I think, absolutely whizzed by. And I loved every minute. And as I said back then, I'm genuinely gutted I had to step away, because I feel like we'd only just scratched the surface. And I'm so pleased for what we did. I've had the best time working with Karen Atkinson and Claire Nelson at that time, bringing Sarah on board. You know, the Scotland group up there are just amazing people. Your Leslies and your Rachers. Yeah, it's been a whole roller coaster, and I think this is the thing with all the emerging teams. You have to have people go in there and share different experiences. And they had Gail Parata before from New Zealand, and now they've had me with some English input as well. And I think that is so important. And you know, when you do these roles, you're fully invested. You've got to get in there and you've got to give it all. And I hope they feel I did that. And we had a great time. I mean, to coach at a Commie Games and at a World Cup, and to bring on some of that youth. We had the youngest squad at the World Cup. So actually there'll be limited changes there. And for Hannah and Iona, you know, they're just beginning their international careers. And it'd be great to see Iona back on the court after she's had a little bubba. And of course, Hannah making the move up to Sirens as well. People are making really big and brave decisions. And I think it'll be really, really pay off for them in the end.
Now you're not there. Who are some of the other players to watch?
Well, I mean, Niamh McCall making the move to come down as well. And that was another thing Karen Atkinson and I
we push really hard on like exploring life outside of Glasgow. And we used to take the Mickey, and it is, you know, there was massive benefits of having all the players up there, but it also had huge detriment when they couldn't all get on the court. So Baz, I don't think we've seen the best of Emma Barry yet, and being at Bath, again, really brave for her to come down, take a year from uni and come and do that. Niamh going to Loughborough, I think that'll be the making of her. There's new youngsters coming through. Keep your eye on Kerris Finn. She is a relentless defender. I love her. So raw, so talented. Erin Bolland, the same. Hannah Grant, who are pulled back in. There's going to be faces. Lovey was my little protege at wing attack. I absolutely love working with her. So there's a load in there. And they'll start making names for themselves. A, because there's space at Sirens now for them to shine. And B, they'll start doing it on the international stage as well.
Wales started their own national league as well. How important is it for them to have the insight to do something like this and obviously give opportunities for those players on a local level as well?
It's huge, and you've got to build a program that works for you, and you can't rely on England. Look, England isn't about making Wales and Scotland better. It's not. And I you know, I made some comments after the World Cup. I think there's certainly ways that England could help more on the home nations. Absolutely. But at the same time, you've got to take responsibility for your own program, developing your own players and providing a pathway for them if the England one doesn't exist for you. So, you know, the things that we did up in Scotland, Karen Atkinson was so good. She wanted to put stuff in place that was going to have a lasting legacy. So bringing in our own Super Cup and bringing in our own National League up there and encouraging players to go down south, and, you know, getting them to play Prem and all the programs that we put in, linking with the universities. And Wales will need to do the same. I think when we looked across the World Cup squad, pretty much every starting Wales player was playing starting Super League. So they've probably had the added advantage that they've had closer Super League teams and more access. With Cardiff, Bath, and then, of course, Gloucester and Worcester. But they've got to put something in place for themselves. You've got to bring through your own talent and provide something that's going to work for your country. So I think it's really, really exciting, and it's only going to benefit. You know, Wales and Scotland close the gap again. You know, imagine only losing to England by 10 in 4 years' time, and then imagine another 4 years' time when it goes goal for goal. Like, just imagine. And then you've suddenly got competition on your doorstep, haven't you? So I just think that stuff like that is obtainable. It's just going to take some time. So you've got to put in stuff that is going to help you get there.
We can't not look at the retirement of Bongi over the last year or so. Really thankful for you to just bring her into the Super League, and obviously another great player that's just no longer playing in National League now.
Well, we do get old, Andy. That's the problem.
Well, I'm just glad that she replied to your message.
Yeah, I know. Well, my Facebook message got all those years ago. Bongi, there are no words for Bongi. She is a particularly special human. It's not many people I'd say that about. She is a special human being. And it's not just the work she's done on the court, but it's off the court. I mean, she is someone you'd follow into any battle, and you probably win as well. She's just, And I think if people knew about her, what she's had to overcome and the life that she's created for herself.
Off court, yeah.
Yeah, she's just a special, special human. And I genuinely meant what I said on Insta the other day, to get to play with her. Yeah, she like lights up the court. And the stories I have on Bongi, God, she's hilarious. She's amazing. But she's brilliant. And I'm so glad, everyone was sort of talking about, was she going to retire on that last game? And obviously she gave Norma a moment, which again, just that is Bongi all over. She let Norma have a moment and then she announced her retirement. And I'm not surprised at all. But yeah, we will miss her. We'll miss her bounciness across the world because she just lights up a room.
Hiya, it's Fran Williams here.
It's an Apple show with Flyhawk, Tamsin. How are these ongoing success of Thorns and obviously at the Nationals as well, those men and mixed games really continue to develop and grow?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a story that's been over the last few years, the development of the male game, the mixed teams as well, and another opportunity and an avenue for some of the players to branch into as well, which I think has been great and a new lease of life. And also, you know, just the men are great. So many of the teams now have them in as training partners, and you're getting regular games against them. And yeah, the game is just on this like flipping conveyor belt at the moment, isn't it? It just keeps going round and round. We're getting new things, and it's so fast paced. And yeah, I think seeing as well the international competitions and the exposure there, and again the level that the men's game can get to, and how helpful that can be to the female side as well, both on a fan base and on the court. Yeah, it's been great to see.
For Mavs, the fact that you're going to be playing the headline event at Wembley is exactly what we need to hear. I mean, I can hear Georgia practicing her Beyonce from here. how are you looking so far? Have you been in training for a couple of games leading up to the new year?
Yeah, so they had a friendly against Pulse, so that was good. They've got the friendly straight after Christmas against Sirens. The build-up's been good. I think there's a real buzz around Mavericks this year, which is what we wanted to create. You know, the Saracens brand is so strong, and that was one of the roles that I was brought in to do. You know, like, how do we build that club and build that culture and build something to buzz about? Wembley, you can see the ambitions of Saracens to go to Wembley is amazing. Actually, I'm working with the Pathway this year and coaching the under-19s, and I've made it a Pathway thing. It's our team building day out. We're all going to Wembley. You know, I've said to all the Pathway, you need to be there. You need to see this. You need to be in Wembley to see this club game, because this is unique. I playing internationally, I played in loads of arenas around the world. One of my favourite places is Wembley because it's so historical. Like, you're in Wembley, for God's sake. You're in a proper arena. It's just, yeah, so it's absolutely incredible. You know, we're going to continue to keep pushing ticket sales and get as many people in there as possible and get the word about and make sure this next generation see it, because, you know, if with 2.0 being the future, we need to show players that this is what, and parents and the next generation, that this is what the Super League's going to look like. Like, welcome to the new era.
Now it's been announced, how often are clubs and that still in contact with Claire?
Yeah, I mean, it's a regular ongoing thing, isn't it? It has to be, because it's, you know, there's moving pieces, and I mean, it's a big deal. This is not just, you don't just click your fingers and it happens. I know Claire is working overtime and conversations will be happening. I know there was real positivity around numbers for tenders and all kinds of stuff. So we'll see what happens. It's a crazy new world we're embarking in. There'll of course be road bumps along the way, because it's, like I said, it's not just wave your magic wand and you have a professional league. But Claire, as I've said all the way along, is the right person to push this forward. And clubs will be continuing to work closely with her to make sure that, you know, we can deliver on what we want to deliver, and that this is a really healthy, sustainable league that for the futures to come can actually get a career out of.
And finally, just in closing, it's not why we do it, but the acceptance and recognition of you winning Pundit of the Year. Big congratulations. Oh,
thanks, Andy. You know what? I was so chuffed, and I don't usually get sort of shocked about things, but when I saw the list of people I was up against, I was like, yeah, you know, Roy Keane, Alan Shearer, Michael Johnson, like the Jill
nice
Scott.
Nice to be
like,
here
nah,
kind of thing, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was kind of like, oh, making up the numbers and all that. But that's really lovely that I've even been included in that group. And then to win it, genuinely shell-shocked. And then, you know what, I had so many people come up and just go, you thoroughly deserved it, the way you talk about netball. And I, you know me, you've known me for a very long time. I just talk. I'm just passionate about what I do. And you know, some people love it, some people not so much. And I accept that as well. But I hope that I try and explain the game in a way that is analytical, that helps you understand it, and also poses questions, because that's my job. It's my job to have an opinion, and whether you agree or don't agree, it hopefully evokes conversation. And the only way our sport continues to grow is if we're prepared to build it, and I think you need that. So yeah, I was super chuffed. I was not super chuffed walking up on stage in a dress trying to collect award, panicking about falling over, but I didn't, so we're all good.
Well done, Tamsin. Hope 2024 is as successful as last year just gone, and speak soon.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Andy.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.